there's a point in your life, you become 18, 21, you're an adult, you even move out of your house and you're an adult. There comes a point in time, you will realize your parents didn't know everything. Then you're like, okay, if they don't know everything, then what I believe could possibly not be true. That means I'm going to have to find something completely new and to find out a different way that works best for me. Best for me. Best for me. Best for me.
This is Talking to My Thoughts. Welcome to Talking to My Thoughts, the podcast where we have open, honest and raw conversations about the things that are playing in our mind. My name is Simon, aka SJ. I'm a video creator, I'm a father and I'm a business enthusiast.
My name is Craig, aka Mr. Positive, a cheesy motivator with a St. Lucian background, big dreams and a passion for helping others find and maintain their peace.
My name's Leon, I'm a security officer, personal trainer, family man, and just go about life, just improving myself and enjoying life to the fullest in peace.
My name's Ricardo Francis, aka Ricardo Lifting. I am a gym manager, a personal trainer, mentor, and also a YouTuber.
Jeez, okay.
Some big people in
it. In it. Madness. Okay, cool. So, obviously, in this podcast, we bring a unique perspective on our inner thoughts by literally pre-recording the things that are on our mind before talking about them with the group. Now, we do this because we believe before you can be open with others, you first have to be open with yourself. So, make sure you guys stay updated and follow us on all of our socials at Talking to My Thoughts. Now, today's topic is how my upbringing affects me as a man. When you initially think of that question, I guess we'll start with Craig. What's the first thing that pops into your head?
For some reason, Christmas time comes off into my head. I don't know why. Like, those were one of some of the highlights of happy times. Like a lot of happy times, a lot of togetherness, a lot of food as well. So I find like, I don't know, it's like a warm feeling thinking about like my upbringing. And then that kind of just brings on through the rest of my life as well.
When it comes to my upbringing, I'm always thinking family first, home is where the heart is, and friends follow on from that, and then you think of your environment and your externals.
What comes to my mind is family, because obviously that's who's going to bring you up as you're growing up, and things associated with the family, you know, just cousins and everything else, an external family, and, you know, how things affect you. Younger, you don't realize as you grow older, but at the time you're just like, oh, that's how it is, you know. But yeah, as you get older, you realize like, wow, that incident impacted me a lot to why I attribute or why I contribute or why I act certain ways now. It's just having a realization now as an old man. Yeah, that's what comes to my mind initially when I hear that question.
The first thing that kind of triggers for me is an emotional roller coaster. Obviously, when you're being raised as a black man as well, given like the society that we live in, it is an emotional roller coaster. You go through so much, especially growing up from young and then going into your teenage years and thinking about how you manage life and how your parents kind of deal with your emotions and your stresses and even the things that you have to deal with personally. It is an emotional roller coaster. And I think that's the first thing that kind of triggers my mind. It's definitely about family and togetherness, but at the same time, It's not always pretty. With that in mind, I guess we'll start with our first pre-record. I don't know who wants to volunteer.
All right, cool. Let's just... Okay, it's Ricky's first.
Cool.
My upbringing kind of defined me as a man today. In positive ways, you know. A lot from the household, you know. Grew up with two loving parents. Even the dynamics between my parents kind of determined how I turned out as a man, you know, from the way I talk, the way I present myself. And I'm very fortunate because my parents were what I considered as overprotective, but I grew up in South London, so that kind of, yeah, there was a reason for it, the overprotectiveness, and it actually saved me from being in certain situations and blending in with certain crowds. It saved me from having to go through certain things, but it also prevented me from going through certain things until later on. which then I had to quickly learn how to adapt to that situation. I had to quickly learn how to make sure I don't get into other situations as well. So it's interesting, you know, having a younger sibling, a younger sister, it made me go through the good and the bad and kind of understanding not only how to deal with a sibling, but what my depiction of an older brother was not her depiction of what she wanted as an older brother. And therefore we clashed like Tom and Jerry. And that I quickly had to change because I realized it wasn't working. Just because I say something doesn't mean she would do it. So I then had to quickly succumb to changing my ways. And a lot of it was through learning through going through different experiences, you know. But I was fortunate to have good friends and family that will help me understand certain situations, help me to understand how to get out of certain situations, understand how to be calm and peaceful. And it kind of defined what I class as masculinity. It defined masculinity in a non-toxic way, in a way which wasn't typical of South London. Majority of South East London, my age mates, they would be doing a lot of stuff, you know. There's a lot to prove. There's a lot to prove on the roads, all with respect, all with expectation of what you should be doing, who was about it, etc. And I quickly fell out of that because I had my parents who were very protective and wouldn't allow me to fall into that. You know, be home before it's dark, or in wintertime, dark is 3 p.m. You finish school at 10 past three, you had to be home already. Like, things like that. That kind of saved me from it. And yeah, just having friends, good friends that were around me that I could bring home. Knowing that you have good friends that you can bring home and your parents don't mind you bring them home, because they'd rather you be at home than out somewhere else where something could be happening. Again, that kind of molded interactions upon us, how we spoke, you know, not just how we spoke, but our mentality towards being better. We can have conversations about that. Typical guys couldn't have conversations about that. How we treated women, you know, we were classed as the sweet boys. Why? Because we didn't have something to prove. We wasn't, as much as boys, you would match yourselves up towards each other. It was a different way. It was in a respectful way. You know, it's something that, again, if I'm at home, I can speak about it and will never be pulled up by my parents by it, because it's not in a disrespectful way. So a lot of the upbringing was down to my environment. It's a product of my environment at the end of the day. And it kind of molded me with the man I am today. When my dad passed away, when I was 16, I had to step up. I had to step up as a man and take on board the lessons he taught me to now apply it in a way where he's not going to be there to tell me anymore. I have to apply it for myself. You know, I have to try and make sure that my sister applies it to herself as well. Like, as much as she's a woman, there's still principles that are universal, you know. How do I address a confrontation? For me personally, I'm always calm, cool as a cucumber, and therefore it never gets escalated. Some people, they have to hype up to it. Am I a dickhead? Cool, I'm going to hype up to it. That was typical in my area, you know. Some people, how they treat girls like a piece of meat. I have never done that, because I only ever saw respect in my household for my mother. I only had respect for my household for my sister. Like, that's something that was a given. Within my family and upbringing, that was a given. You had to show respect to the women. So upbringing really defines how you come out of being a teen, growing up and becoming a man. And if you are a man with flaws, you first have to identify those flaws to change your ways to become the man that you probably want to be. Because at the end of the day, I think everyone has an image of what a man is. Some people's might be skewed by what they've been shown, but when they really think for themselves, a lot of times they reflect and say, you know what, I don't want to be that. And that's where they implement change. But it's first recognizing it within yourself.
the way you project yourself out into the world is obviously a reflection of what you see in the home, which I think is quite important, because obviously when we address particular issues with people in the world, a lot of it does stem from how they were brought up and what they did see around them, whether it's from their parents, whether it's from their family members and friends, close friends, as you said as well. It's important that with your household and with your upbringing, you one thing you mentioned was that your parents were quite protective. How do you feel that directly has affected you? Do you think that in any case did it kind of stop you from kind of living your life? Do you feel like there was any way where you felt it was overprotection, or how do you think that in order for them to protect you has resulted in who you are today?
You know, when you're younger and you're going through your teen years especially, you can feel that protection as overprotection. Like, at certain times you want to go out, they're not letting you go out because your age mates are going out. Going after school, like I had to come home. There was a certain time it took me to get home. You know? School finished at 10 past three. If I took the bus to go home, I had to be home at 4. And I received a phone call on the home phone at 4 o'clock. If I missed that, something was wrong. So it's just things like that, as much as you see it as overprotective when you're younger, growing up, I'm looking back and I'm like, I'm kind of glad I wasn't in these situations. Because then the next day, you hear from this friend or this person, oh, this happened after school, some madness happened. You know, growing up, I kind of reflected back, especially later on through my teen years, it was like, I'm glad, because I know I would have been influenced and been with certain people that wasn't necessarily doing the best thing.
He took us through things such as, like, obviously his area played a big part. There was like two environments. One was his house, one was his area. Which one are you going to like be loyal to? Is it going to be the outside? Or is it going to be the inside? And thankfully he had a lot of like good friends and the right people that was put in his life that kind of kept him, he extended his household instead of extending what the environment he was put in a sense, you could say. He was literally just saying, you know what, he stuck with what his parents say. Obviously there was a bit of resistance at some points with, okay, why do I have to come home at these times? I had the same kind of calls, but 4 p.m. mum's like, where's the call? What happened? And the thing is, I've avoided a lot of things, a lot of fights that happened outside my school, a lot of things that went on with my friends. I didn't have to experience that because I was already home in a sense. And I was happy to, but I guess Ricky being my cousin, I already knew he was a bit of a different person where he was a very social person. So it was very key that he had good friends involved at the same time, where it kept him in. So my question really to you is, do you ever feel there was it like this transitional period where when did you realize that how your parents brought you up is the right way to follow? Because obviously there was a lot of tug and pull, and it's not a tug of war with outside and inside and friends on the outside and stuff like that. When did you realize, you know what, I'm just going to stick to what they said to for me to do because it's done me well? When did you realize that, do you think?
I think I'll say the later part of secondary school. That's kind of me, and that's because I started to experience it regardless of coming home. Like certain things, certain people on the roads, fights after school would be like whole school fights, one school versus another. And I look at some of the incidences and I was like, I could have turned out like this man could have been on crud, running from the police, someone could have got stabbed, I could have been part of this gang. And it just made me realize, you know what, I'm kind of glad I got taken away from all that because my life could have been so different. So I'll say later part of secondary school, about 15, 16, that's when I realized.
What kind of emotions or battles, or was there any incidents or experiences where you thought at one point, maybe me being with my friends is the right way to go. Maybe this is what I want to do. Maybe my parents are just being a bit too overprotective and being a bit too picky. Like, did you ever have those kind of emotional battles with yourself?
Oh, yeah. 100%. I definitely did. I remember getting into arguments with my parents because I couldn't go out. I remember one time I actually decided to go out on my own accord, like stay out later than I should have. This is me getting on like 4:30. And the madness that happened is by the time I got home, my parents had called the school, ready to call the police, I'm missing. Like, it was that incident, and I felt so bad. And the worst thing, you know when you lie, you get caught in your lie. Yeah. I got caught in the worst way. So there's me saying, oh, well, I had to stay after school in detention.
Mm.
And then I just quickly went to the shop, and then I came back. Obviously, that's the night. Not saying I didn't go to detention, but detention was 10 minutes. So that doesn't account for the whole hour. So my mum wrote a strong letter to the school because she thought I'd been kept in detention for too long, etc., without giving permission. Then they addressed the situation with me, and I had to fess up. Like, I was fess up, hands up. Okay. I went to the chicken shop with the boys. It was not worth it. And
word.
From that point, is like I had to rebuild that trust in my parents. But that was kind of my one rebellious stage. After that, it was just a mental battle a little bit, you know. There's certain things that, okay, I didn't have to directly prove, but when I got older, I kind of did, you know, like, are you about this life? Like, people want to test your strength. Mm. People want to test your resilience. You know, they start cussing. They start attacking you. Can you firm a Russian? Like, things like that. I had to learn that quickly without actually being in that environment too much. The most I got it was school. I had to just clue myself up quickly, resolve it, and try to make sure I'm not escalating situations. And that kind of kept me at bay. And then, yeah, I'm grateful for it now. Like I said, looking back, I would have wanted to be more a bigger part of that, but I got nothing to prove now. So I'm happy. And at the end of the day, I don't feel like a broken man because of it.
I want to ask, when did he realize that he was trying to be a bigger brother that he wasn't, that his sister didn't want him to become? And how did he juggle becoming a brother that she wanted him to be?
That's a good one, actually. Mm. So, Craig and Leon both know, Simon probably doesn't know, but me and my sister Chloe, like, we were like cat and mouse. We were literally Tom and Jerry, what you see on the cartoons, that's how we were.
Every weekend.
We used to wind each other up, push each other's buttons, and it got so bad in the home that, like, you know how an older sibling would normally look after a younger sibling while the parents go to the shops with them? Nah. we couldn't be left alone at home. So I would be left alone and my parents would take her. Like, that's how it was. Mm. So, because we thought someone was going to kill us, like, someone was going to kill each other. Like, and literally, I think the thing that made that situation worse between us at the time was that my parents used to say, this is, I used to react, I'm a boy. When you get angry, the first thing you do is hit. And I used to get told in front of my parents and in front of her, that was the worst thing, you're not her parent, do not hit her. And in her head, that means you're not my parent, you can't tell me what to do.
Mm.
I'll get away with it. So that's kind of how that escalated. And it's not until older years, so I would say when I actually moved out, so we moved to St. Lucia, and then I came back to England by myself to study. And then later on, she came back to England. And that's when things kind of changed completely. That distance, she realized she appreciated me a bit more. And that distance actually made me realize I can't dominate myself as an older brother. Like, that's never worked. We've always clashed. If I want this relationship to be a working relationship, because I've seen older brothers and sisters that don't treat each other. I want it to be a working relationship. I have to change my approach completely. So I got to a point where it's just like, I'm going to listen to you. And if you want advice, I will give you advice. All I'm here to do is listen and support you. Doing that kind of changed the whole dynamic. And yeah, I see her go through mistakes that I wish she didn't go through, but that's for her to go through. That's how she learns. That's how she's going to go through it. As long as I'm there to support her, okay, I guess that's the best I can do.
Yeah, you took us for a long journey, Mum. Like, and you really showed us like certain pieces of, it was like you had pieces of yourself, pieces of with your friends, pieces in your environment, pieces in your school, pieces on your own. These all contributed to you having to go through. And you, the thing is, you've never actually been alone through the whole thing. But again, to even get to the part that you had to at the end, there was times of loneliness, having to think for yourself, like, okay, my friends are doing this, but am I going to do this? Okay, my sister's acting up, but am I going to do this? My parents told me to do this, but am I going to? And I think this is, it really resonates with how we are, our upbringing anyway. Even if we had like, me, you, and Leon had a close upbringing in a sense, but still there was isolation with just small tweaks of how our parents will treat us, how our friends are, what school we went to, what year we were in. Small tweaks still makes it a very isolated and lonely journey. But and then you say what, and then someone you express to somebody else, and they're like, no, but you're not alone though. You always had your cousins. Like, yeah, I got them. But this is something I got to do for myself. And I think people can either take the victim role or take the superhero role, like they're their own superhero. And you can took the I'm here but on my own. Okay, the last decision you made with your sister wasn't I need to change her mind anymore. It was, I need to change my mind and my perspective about this, and now I will gain control. And now you have a greater control than you ever have over your relationship, which is a unique thing. And I think a thing that men don't usually often, they always think force and pushing and just going like when there's a wall, they're like, okay, how did Thor do it? He threw the hammer through the wall. Also, through the wall, that is the answer. It's like, no, actually, there's other ways to do it. And I think men don't sometimes take that step back and realize that. So that's the interesting. Thanks for sharing that. That's an interesting journey. I guess let's get straight into Leon's.
Yeah, man, let's do it.
How did my upbringing affect me? I would say it's two parts that would have influenced me. It would be my household and environment. I'll start with my household. I'd say my household, I grew up with my mum and dad, inner city London. You don't really hear that often, but I did. My mum didn't play too much part of my upbringing in the sense of my discipline, because she left it to my dad, because, you know, he knew how to, or you would have thought he knew how to raise a boy kind of thing. But yeah, most of it was discipline was from my dad. The positives I got out of, you know, my household was that I had two parents that were together, and obviously I've seen their relationships up and down, and, you know, they have arguments and stuff, but from what I saw is they always worked it out, stuck it out with each other, and got through their problems kind of thing. So that instilled, like, you know, good relationship values and in a relationship to work things out regardless of how it's going, like, you know, always try to work it out rather than this day and age, everyone's just like, oh, break up, divorce or whatever. Parents was on, showed me that, no, if you work on things, it will prosper, you know? So yeah, that's one part of it, aspect of it. And then I would say my household is all good family values in the sense of, like, being there for your family, you know, looking after your sister and stuff like that. And just being there for your family in general, like being the older sibling also, because I have a younger sister. As an older sibling, as you get older, you take charge of a lot of things, you know? Like me going to secondary school from year 11, coming home from school every evening, Monday to Friday, cooking dinner for my, or Monday to Thursday, because Friday will be takeaway. We'll be cooking dinner for my dad. This is at 11 years old, you know, but these are expectations from a West Indian family, or a West Indian dad even, when really at times there should be him cooking dinners for me, you know? And that's what I mean by, like, you learn to serve people. And then, but then I didn't mind it at the time because I enjoyed cooking, but then in hindsight I should have been focusing on my studies. Then obviously with the discipline part, I felt like there was a lot of injustice with my upbringing, because a lot of people just didn't, or my family, or my parents, or my dad didn't understand me, you know. And a West Indian turn to things was to beat me without any explanation really as such. And that was my interaction with, you know, discipline. It's that whatever I do wrong, you'll get beat for it. There will be no explanation. No one understand, make you understand why you got beat for it. Just maybe the understanding you was being naughty, but not in a sense why it's seen as naughty. And that's how it was. And then on top of that, being made responsible of my sister in terms of look after sister, make sure sister don't do this. And if my sister hurt myself because I wasn't watching her, I would have got told off and beat for that. Which is difficult because, again, I'm growing up to be responsible for my own actions and no one else. But in that instance, I was responsible for someone else's actions, you know. And then in the same breath, my sister would tell me, you're not my dad, you know, you can't tell me what to do, but my dad's telling me to look after you, so it puts me on double-edged sword. It's like, what do I do? You know, and it's difficult to navigate as a kid. How it affected me as an adult, my aggression isn't great, you know, nor is it something I deal with even up to now. But then that would mix in with environment in terms of like where I was brought up. So East London, you know, inner city London, it's your typical have this bad boy persona mentality. And don't get me wrong, I wasn't out from like 13, 14 on the streets. My parents were quite protective. They didn't let me go out. Well, they did, but, you know, curfew was really early and things like that. I only started going out properly, you know, 17, 18, and getting back after dark type thing. I went started driving and stuff. But yeah, being growing up in inner city London, but then even from primary school, you know, I had a kid picking on me. I went through the right means and avenues of, you know, telling teachers. Nothing happened. So I told my dad, he said, how long has it been going on for? He said, fine, the next time the boy approaches you and picks on you, you just hit him. So I did, bust his nose. He stopped bullying me. So obviously in primary school, that instilled to me, violence is going to help you in life. And then obviously being at home and being beat for things that I'm being, you know, being naughty for, then violence to me quickly gets desensitized almost, and be like, well, it's a way of life, you know, at a very young age. Then growing up in inner city London, being a teenager, you have to have this bad boy mentality and bad boy persona. It's going to make that aggression even worse, basically, and that's what it did do, you know. And I realized that having a chip on your shoulder, having a bad boy with persona, energy or vibe to you, protects you in inner city London. You might become a victim, you know. And even in terms of like me having friends today, I have very few because I grew up in East London, where it's a sneaky place, let's say. Let's be honest about it, you know. I've seen things where like supposedly they are friends, but they're robbing your phone. Like, how does that work out? They make out like they're your friend and they're robbing your phone. So that's why I'm very cautious of people being in, like, growing up in inner city London. And I guess that that's molded me as a man today as well, being cautious of people. And I have very few friends, and my trust is very minimal for people that isn't family. Let's say I trust family a lot, but people that's not family, I don't trust them at all because of them experiences. And I have very few friends, and the friends that I do have, they're almost like family. So yeah, that's how I'd say my upbringing has affected me in that sense, with both environment and household, you know.
One of the key things that I thought was really quite interesting, and I think what I want to pick up the most, is the part that you said that you was taught violence.
Mm-hmm.
Because it seemed like there was a struggle at the beginning, which was more saying, like, can I be understood? Mm-hmm. That was the first part. Then it came to a point where it was like, okay, now school's on me, now friends are on me, the environment's on me, and my dad is on me. So maybe that's just the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Now that you know this today, how have you been able to, do you still believe that violence is the way, or what is your new way of thinking, if you have thought of a different way, or do you think this is the way?
No, I don't think this is the way. I knew my actions were wrong at them time, but then, you know, I carry these skills from 5 all the way up to 21, 22, you know. It's a long chunk of your life because these are skills that are going to save you, you know, as a child and being in inner city London. But it's having that realization of where did these behaviors stem from, you know. It's like little incidents that you might just think, some people would just think, oh, it's happened. But I would internalize and carry for the rest of the day, and it would be like, my whole energy for the day, I'll be grumpy, I'll be snappy and having arguments with people and stuff like that, when one incident has literally just made my whole day go down south, basically, when it's all my response to it, when I can just change my response to it, and I would live a much more happy and peaceful life. But it took me a long time to realize that, and a lot of times of questioning, and where did all these come from? And yeah, there's a lot of stuff that you don't want to hear and you don't want to dig down and find out. And it's hard for you to, you know, at times to come to terms with what your findings are, you know.
The first part you really said was that kind of like men raise men, especially in the West Indian household. It was just like, okay, you're a man, so your dad is going to be the one to raise you, your mum will chip in. Do you wish that your mum chipped in more?
Yeah, I would say so, definitely. When she felt like she couldn't say anything to my dad in his discipline, that I feel like she should have at the time. But then, you know, we've had discussions over the years, and she thought like he was doing the right thing at the time because
she didn't know any better. But then at the time, she felt like, you know, she couldn't say anything, don't want to undermine his discipline in front of me, because then I would challenge him with that. She would, behind closed doors, say to my dad, okay, I think he was a bit heavy-handed, or I was a bit, think he was a bit too much. But if he took that on board, would be a different situation, you know, I wouldn't know. That's what I would say, like, on that part.
Okay. Yeah, I think that plays in with the whole sister thing with both of you, where basically you lot were undermined in front of your parents through different wording, but the interpretation from your little sisters was like, nah, nah, you can't do nothing. Yeah. All right. So, yeah, Simon, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, man, I appreciate you sharing that, because it does sound like there was a lot of pressure. Because this is the difference, I think, because I'm in my household, I was the youngest. And obviously for you guys, you had younger siblings, where I was the youngest sibling. So I didn't have that responsibility of that added pressure of having the responsibility of someone else. I only learned that once I had children for myself, and then I had to be responsible for someone. How do you feel that has then instilled in you your parenting techniques, and how you apply that to being in a relationship and having an additional responsibility of now a child as well? How do you think that applies? So I know you said you've obviously changed and you've had discussions with your parents, but do you still kind of have those subtleties where you feel that, okay, if your child does something naughty, you got to beat them automatically? How do you navigate through that?
So I've made the decision not to beat my child, and actually explain to them what I want them to do, or what I want from them, because explaining to them and making them understand is a lot easier, and then it's more of a mutual understanding, you know, because again, a relationship with a child is also a relationship within itself, and you don't want to damage it, you know. That's the things I understand. It's like, you still want to keep that pressure of that relationship between your child and yourself, so you don't want to tarnish it by being this mean person and coming across as like you're always being, you know, telling them off. So I kind of want to reason with my daughter and tell her why I want her to do XYZ. And even the thing is, what I do struggle with little things is like, she will be in the car with me, I might have road rage, I might raise my voice, and things like that, it scares her. So then when I do raise my voice in the house, you know, just out of annoyance of my own things, or I might just be frustrated and you might be at a raised tone, it really scares her. And I can see the look on her face, that she's really fearful, and that in myself, it really hurts me inside. That's as far as I can put it, you know. And as a father, I wouldn't want to put my child through that. So that's how I've gone about my parenting and going forward with it. It's the way I feel about it, and how I feel is in myself, you know, as my guilt, if I was to make her feel in that way.
How does that relationship then affect you with your parents? How does that affect that relationship with your mom? Is there any way that, do you feel that a sense of like resentment, or is there a sense of like, well, you regret the way they had to put you through that? What's your thought process now, looking back and thinking how you was raised, and then again, applying it to bringing up your own kids? What's your relationship like now?
Well, I've gone through the feelings of resentment, through, you know, asking myself these questions and everything else. And then yourself, you're thinking like, oh, why would he do that to you? You know, he's supposed to love you, and then things like that. And then even just the point of like, oh no, in our cousins group, like Craig and Ricky, it was almost like a running joke, you know, that I used to get beat a lot, you know. And even the Lawrence situation resonates a lot in my mind, you know. And I even had them guys there to defend me, and that didn't matter. My dad continued with his discipline, you know. So I've gone through that whole phase of resentment. It's difficult because at times I still live in my dad's house. Obviously, I'm in the process of moving out. But at times I'm trying to tell him, like, I'm trying to look at things in a different light and not in the light that you see things. And he might not see it, but I can't change his mind. I can just be in control of myself. And I'm not trying to change his mind. I might try and open his eyes. If he doesn't see, I can't force him, you know. And I've just got to leave him with his own thought processes, and then go and live my truth that I believe is the truth, you know. I mean, that I believe is the right way in my sense, in my eyes, you know. And that's how I navigate the relationship now. It's difficult, don't get me wrong, because you have good days with it and bad days. But it's just how it's got to be done, I guess, isn't it?
Because I was someone, if I didn't get told why, I would just do it again. Like, I needed to understand. I was a stubborn kid. Like, if you didn't tell me why, what I did wrong, I would just do it again.
Then it ain't wrong, then, is it? Exactly. Exactly. Like,
beats was just beats. I got caught in the moment. That's all it was.
You know, yeah, I got a couple licks, boy. I got a couple licks. It was my dad that did that. I got a good couple licks, boy.
And even if you think of some people's behaviors today, like they do something, they're not really sorry for doing it. They're sorry for being caught doing it. And I think that's where the communication bridged that gap between being sorry for doing it and being sorry for being caught doing it. I think that's kind of what bridged that gap. You know, having an explanation and understanding as to what your actions are causing.
Yeah, okay. That's I got a question for you three, yeah? Can we ever outgrow our parents?
Yes.
Yeah, I think believe we can.
Why do you think that?
So my reasoning is that our parents were brought up in a certain way in a certain generation, from our grandparents' generation and into this current generation, their current generation and time. So they don't do the same things the way that their parents did either. There's some things they change and they had to adapt into their own environment. Then we have to do the same. We get stuff from our parents, but now we're in this world, which is very different to what their world was like. So in the sense of outgrow, is more like we adapt to our time. We take what they have, it's kind of working, and then we add on to our pieces to make it for our time. If you was to say like everything was parallel, like our parents, grandparents, and us, we probably all grow the same way. We all had the same kind of challenges. It's just a different time. So that's how I see it as outgrow. And the other part was really, there's a point in your life, you become 18, 21, you're an adult, you even move out of your house and you're an adult. There comes a point in time, you will realize your parents didn't know everything. Then you're like, okay, if they don't know everything, then what I believe could possibly not be true. That means I'm going to have to find something completely new and to find out a different way that works best for me. And I think somebody asked me that question before. They said, when will you stop living through your parents? And I said, well, hold up, my parents are the shit, man. What are you talking about? And they said, it's not about them being great or not. It's nobody saying that they're great, they're not great, or they are great. But the thing is, what you live by, everything that you know, you've taken it from them. Everything's your parents, the way they did it. But there's certain pieces that are not going to align with you. Maybe the way when they got married, the way they treat each other, the way they talk about the world, the way they see things, isolation, etc. My parents are quite isolated from the world, but I'm a very, very friendly, open person. So there's going to be a shift you make in yourself where you're going to choose, you're going to take some values, but then there's going to be some things that you make for yourself that work better for you and your environment and your time.
But do you think that's you outgrowing them, or do you think that's, as you said, just adapting to being the person that you need to be?
I believe it's outgrowing because the way that we learned as children were from like mimicking, like we copied them, cloned them in a sense. Then we're going to get to a certain point where that what we learned from them doesn't work completely anymore. So then you're almost literally deciding, okay, if I was my parent, they would do it this way, but I'm going to do it that way. That's where the outgrowing begins. So you have something, a situation that's in front of you, they would do it this way. You know that. Then you do it the other way instead. So mine might be like, okay, one of the things with my parents, never talk about your income, never talk about your money, because then people start asking for it. I'm very open about my income and stuff like that with people that are basically in my circle. I'm very open to basically telling them. So I chose it and I said, I feel like it's empowering to tell other people where they can be and what they can achieve is empowering to them. So that's my part. If I was doing my parents' way, nobody would ever know. So that's a small example in that way. And that's how I believe you're outgrowing in that sense. Not that you're better than them, but actually there's a point where decisions are made and you no longer do it the way that your parents taught you. You do it the way that you believe is best.
Yeah. So Leon and Ricky as well. How would you manage that? So whether you've got to that stage in your life already or not, where you realize maybe not everything you taught is the right way or even the right way for you, essentially, how do you manage that? Because some people can almost use it as not a level of disrespect, because they could just turn around and be like, you know what, mom, you're chatting rubbish. You don't know what you're talking about. Dad, you don't know what you're talking about. All this time you was telling me this, that's just bollocks. Like, what are you talking about? I know better now, innit? And then next, what? You can't get licks because you're a grown man now, innit? So, but how
you
do
think
you
so? You think
that?
So, innit? You think so? Where some get people that one might back get... and you didn't even see it.
Yeah, how would you manage that kind of transition? If you've got there yet, how would you do it? How would you do it?
To be honest, I think it's all a learning process. The transition really comes from when you have to find some form of independence. I think that was the biggest transition for me anyway. finding that form of independence and realizing, okay, if I try this their way, does it work for me? Because their way is a set way. You do this, you do X, Y, Z, and things should work out. But part of it, what we didn't think about is not if the formula works, but how do we feel doing it? That was the biggest thing for me when I took my career path. It was completely different for what kind of was set out for me. I was meant to go into engineering. I have a degree in automotive engineering. I am a gym manager. You understand? But I went through it and realized, got to a point in my life where I realized going through all that education, that's the way they set out for me. Some of it was a little bit more than what they planned because my parents never went to university. And I realized that probably wasn't the way for me either. I got to a point where I realized I was happier doing something that I enjoyed. And if, as long as I can find a way to monetize it, that's the way I'm going to go. And that's the choice I made. And I've been happy ever since. I can't complain. You know, money's decent. It will grow as long as my ambition for it grows. I'm in a happy place. I'm in a place where I don't feel like, no, I've got to go to work. It's like, I'm going to work. I'm happy. Cool. But if I had it my mum's way, I would be an engineer right now. But when I looked back at engineers that I knew, I'll punish the engineers that I knew, but what the industry was showing me, you know, through experience, through some of the lecturers, I was like, these guys are boring. I'm not saying that all engineers are boring.
He's saying that.
Yeah.
Some of them lacked interpersonal skills. Some of them didn't have the ability to teach. They only had the knowledge. Does that make sense? You know, and that's all skills that I limited myself with all my life, but I realized doing what I love actually made me get out of that comfort zone. But that's not something my mum would have wanted me to necessarily do. And even when I went into personal training, my mum was like, if you do this for now and then look for an engineering job. And then I took the next step and I went to assistant manager. Oh, you're getting some money now, but you go back into engineering. It's constant on their mind. It's like, now I'm at the position I'm at. I think she doesn't bring it up so much anymore. She's in her mind, she's like, well, you could be making a little bit more money if you did engineering. You're happy. You're paying your bills and you've got no problem.
She's still pushing it, boy.
Yeah, she's still, up to now, she was still pushing. But at the end of the day, I'm not happy with myself. You know, there's certain things that I was able to do for myself and I had to go through things to realize it. And a lot of it was self-reflection. What actually makes me happy and what can do I have the ability to adapt and learn new things to be able to take on new challenges? You know, I think the whole point is to outgrow your parents. You know, they teach you everything they can, everything they know, everything that they know that works. And it's up to us to take that information and grow on it. It's up to our information to do it better than they did. I think that's the whole point of it. You know, for generations to improve, for things to improve in life, we need to be better than our parents, I guess. We need to do things a step further. You know, at first, you got to think. As black people, a lot of people came in, they would have come on ships, they're just trying to establish themselves and make some money. The next step is, okay, now we need to grow careers. Then it becomes grow empires so we can leave things behind for our children. We're still in a generation of we're still trying to build stuff. We're not at that generation where we can, you know, we've been given a house, we've been given a business to run, etc. This is our time to create that. So I think the whole point is to outgrow your parents.
It's a generational thing. It's a time thing. It's different times, you know. Little things like my dad really don't know how to use a computer. He couldn't jump on and use this right now. But I know how to use it. That's the generational thing, you know. But it doesn't mean that I'm better than him in that sense as a person, but I'm better than him in terms of technology, you know. So we are going to be ahead of our parents in that sense. So a better version of our parents because, like Ricky said, we will take good parts from it that we've learned and the bad parts we won't use, but the good parts we will, and then use parts that we've learned ourselves on top of self-learning. And then you'll go forward and... be a better person for it. Like myself, I've decided, you know, made a decision not to beat my children, and I'd rather go through the explanation route of it and make them understand why I want them to do X, Y, Z or not do X, Y, Z, you know? And that's a progress in my eyes, because I know the effects of, if I did beat my kids, what would happen to them in terms of their emotions and like how to they manage the situations in life and further in life, because I'm dealing with them now, so I wouldn't want to inflict that onto them. Yeah, that's all I'll say about it.
Cool. So one of the questions we had was, before you become a parent, do you believe you have to heal from your traumas first? Oh, no, yeah, that's a big
one. Back a little. Do you? Well, no. I would say no, because you can be a parent. It just depends on whether you're a good parent or not. You could have traumas and be a bad parent. It doesn't stop you from being a parent. Just means you ain't a very good one.
So it kind of leaks off of the fact that they say that if you don't heal from your traumas, the traumas that you have will become your kids.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. So 100%, I would think that I think it is important that you do heal from your traumas, regardless of whether you're a parent or not, to be honest. But because as with what you already just brought up, is those things will, you instill what a part of you in your children either way, whether you want to or not. If you're naturally a violent person or an aggressive person, you will tend to try, you may try and suppress them, but eventually it's going to come out because that's instilled in who you are. And then when you're raising your kids, as Leon's brought up as well, that can trickle down into your kids. So I think that it's important, regardless of whether you have kids, to kind of heal those traumas. But I definitely think that for you to be a good parent, if we're trying to define it as being a good parent and being effective in raising someone to be essentially a good citizen within the society, I definitely think that you do need to heal those traumas, wherever they may be. If you don't know any better, you ain't going to make them better anyway. So if you think that being aggressive is the way you need to be and that's the right way to be about it, you're naturally going to instill that in your kids. You're not going to think, well, maybe aggression isn't a way forward, so maybe I need to teach my kids not to be aggressive. Because if you naturally think that that's the right way to do it, you're just going to do it anyway. So I think that any traumas, any things that you do have that you need to heal, I think it probably is important to do it before you become a parent. But at the same time, you need to do it regardless of whether you're a parent or not. I do think it's important.
I'll definitely say it's very important. I think it's interesting that you picked up aggression and even beating, and we've discussed it in the topic. And something that I'm going to say, something that Caribbeans are going to be like, I want to hear that. I'm going to say this in my chest. Beating your kids, slapping your kids about, or doing things to your kids that you wouldn't do to adults on the street is not discipline, is a lack of self-control. Now, the reply is going to be like, well, I got beat up, so what? it did it for me. I'm telling you this. If you are not allowed to do it by law or in the public, it is a lack of self-control, because your kids, you believe that they're your possessions or they're your property. No. When you brought them into the world, yes, they were brought by you, but they're not your property. They're another human being, regardless of how small, how big. They're another human being. So actually, you basically using aggression as a form of discipline, because that's the way that you express yourself, is just a lack of self-control. Because if you did it in a work environment, you're sacked. If you did it on the street, you're arrested. It's very clear cut. So I don't know where we got in the Caribbean that actually we believe that showing a level of lack of control you thought was going to help your kids get into control. So some of them is like, I hit them, they became just fine. Actually, do you believe the hitting is what made them fine, or did they find their own way to realize, I just don't want to get hit? So actually, you just instilled fear. So yeah, I would just say, in that sense, if you have a case where you have this level of trauma, or you was beat, or any level of self-control, and that's how you express it onto your kids, that's not the way to go about it. That is something that you need to heal from. Because what you're trying to teach them is that actually the lack of control is okay. That's what you're saying. Lack of control in yourself is okay. But the one thing that you need to realize is that kids mimic and grow and listen and copy what you do. So if you are showing the lack of self-control, then that's not necessarily going to work. The same with my parents. When if they ever hit me, they would come back and explain it. Again, with Ricky, he had a similar thing where one was doing the other. And then Ricky Leon was basically saying, well, he just realized actually this isn't the way I want to do it, because it's not the way I want my daughter to be brought. There's a point where you just have to decide, I'm going to take control for me.
I think it's important that you realize that, though. As I kind of mentioned a second ago, is that you need to realize that there is trauma within you, or there's something that needs to be healed in the first place. As I said, if you don't think that you being violent or aggressive is a problem, then you're naturally just going to instill that into your kids anyway. I think it's identifying where the wrongs are and where the rights are, and kind of trying to fix that within yourself, because you can't teach others before you learn. You can't teach your kids before you've learned it. It doesn't make no sense. So if you haven't learned to be compassionate, and you haven't learned to have, as you said, that self-control, how can you teach your kids to be that way? If the only thing you know and the only thing you've learned is to be aggressive, that's what you're going to teach your kids. So I think that it comes down to that. You need to just be able to identify and find the flaws within yourself before you can deal with raising a kid in the right way. That's what I think.
Which requires listening, and not just listening to like the people around you who've said certain things that you're just like, oh no, that's the way I do it. Or the other part is listening to yourself. Do you feel okay afterwards? Like after you do something like that, or you show that level of discipline or speak to someone in that way, do you feel uplifted, or do you feel drained? Mm. Like there's so many different identifiers to realize actually maybe this wasn't the right way. Why is it that every time I do this or come to this place, it always ends up being the same kind of feeling, this draining feeling? And that is something that you need to realize in yourself. Listen to yourself and listen to people around you.
I believe that it's in the ideal world that we should, yeah. But did I? I would say that I didn't. I would say becoming a parent made me identify my traumas, because prior to becoming a parent, I didn't even know my ways were wrong, you know? Because again, growing up, I thought it was so normal. Again, you know, you guys laughing about me getting beat and it being so desensitized in that sense, I just thought it was normal, you know? And, you know, when I'm going into aggressive situations, at the end, I did feel drained, but I wasn't self-aware enough to know that was my body telling me that's not the right way for me, you know? But just the desensitization of it, I just thought all these things and the way I was feeling were just normal. And even to point at them times, I almost felt like I wanted, like, to, it sounds weird, but because I was so used to getting beat, I felt like I had to punish myself, you know what I mean? Mm. And I had to desensitize that self from that association, and not feel so guilty, and not almost feel like I needed to beat myself because no one's going to discipline me now. It was that installed in me, you know. And even up to today, I struggle with these things, and I deal with these things on a daily basis. But it's all a learning curve, and it's like it's hard to unlearn, you know, things you learn in your younger years. But over a period of time, you unlearn it for your better peace. And I feel like I'm becoming more of a better person and like a happier person in general, you know. And I don't let little things get to me so much. I just take it literally as a pinch of salt and move on, because you know what? At least I've got a roof over my head, my little one's healthy, and it's not the end of the world, you know, and my belly's full. There's bigger issues in life than, you know, trying to just feel all this weight on your shoulders of aggression and just internalize it in one situation. And yeah, that's what I would say about that, to be honest.
The first thing, as Simon said, you have to first identify that it's a trauma. You have to identify that it's a trauma, because if you haven't identified that, instead you pass it on to your kids, etc. And sometimes you can do that before you have kids. In Leon's case, your kid was the trigger to realize that it was a trauma. You know, sometimes that's going to happen. But as long as you're constantly trying to better yourself, you identify that it's a trauma, and you do everything you can to correct it, that's the best you can be. Like a human. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right, so thank you guys for obviously sending in those questions. Obviously, hopefully you can take something away from the conversation. We enjoyed obviously having you guys here as well. This platform isn't just about us talking to you listeners. It's about you guys getting involved to ask questions, continue the conversation, and open up to us about your views and your experiences. Obviously, if you've enjoyed the podcast, please like, share, and remember to follow us to stay up to date with all of our new content and events. Guys, thank you so much for joining us, and thank you guys for listening. We'll see you guys soon.